You are listening to Level Up Your Gaming Podcast, episode 124, Choosing the Right System for Your Game. In today's episode, we discuss different systems and choosing the right one for your game. We discuss what several different systems have and their settings for their games. We also discuss their tailored mechanics that can make for a smoother experience for a specific game. Bandit Camp has launched a hardcover print run Kickstarter for both Wicked Ones and its full expansion game, Undead Awakening. In Wicked Ones, you play as monsters building a dungeon together and slaying adventurers. It's heavily inspired by the PC game Dungeon Keeper. In Undead Awakening, you play as a group of powerful undead leading hordes against the living and playing through classic undead horror movie moments. They're Forged in the Dark games and hit themes that you don't usually see covered much, such as playing the bad guys. They also have a ton of awesome art by Victor Costa. Links will be in the show notes for Bandit Camp, their Kickstarter, and the Wicked Ones free edition on DriveThruRPG. Check them out. If you'd like to participate in the discussion or leave us feedback, you can contact us at levelupyourgamingpodcast@gmail.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/levelupyourgaming. If you like the content and want to hear more of the show, subscribe and we'll ensure you don't miss an episode. New episodes come out almost every Wednesday. Also, please review, tell a friend about the podcast, or share with your gaming group. Now sit back and enjoy the episode.
Bow, 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 bow. Level Up Your Gaming Podcast.
Welcome to the Level Up Your Gaming Podcast. My name is Aaron, and joining me in person once again, Tom.
Hello.
Hey, Tom. How are you doing today?
I'm doing glorious.
After a couple audio hiccups here, we're finally underway.
Technology, it's so hard.
Thank God I have multiple ways to record this podcast. Otherwise, you know, I'd hit the end of this episode and I'd be like, why is this happening?
Fun fact, smoke signal, not the best way.
I'm glad to have you back joining me here. Before we get into the episode, I'm going to give some updates for the podcast. So we are working on a live play collaboration with some other podcasting groups. So more news to come from that. I'll let you know that in a week. We are also you'll hear a spot for a coming game or a game that just launched on Kickstarter, and so keep an eye out for that. Go check them out, and at the moment that's all we got. More news to come soon, but we'll get on with the episode here. So today Tom and I are going to talk about choosing the right system for your game. This is actually a topic that you brought up to me.
Yeah, I think it's an important topic because a lot of people kind of get very focused. And while that's good sometimes, it's not always a good
thing. Yeah. No, I think, again, I almost exclusively play World of Darkness. And we're going to talk about it a little bit here in terms of like what are kind of the benefits of some systems versus others. But in a lot of ways, we have sort of mastered that system. And so we've sort of bended it to our will. But I think that when you start looking at different game systems that are out there, and this will be a little payoff for you, Gary, we're finally going to talk a little bit about the Fate system, and I'll dive into it deeper in a future episode, because I've actually started looking up on it, and now I understand why you asked me to take a look at it.
It does make sense.
it makes sense for a lot of the things that Jared and I had talked about on this podcast, but also you know, different systems do fit different stories better. And this is, you know, maybe a case for choosing the right system for your game. If you want to go back and listen to the episode that that our listener Chris did, where he sent us in a recording about how to run the Cortex Prime system, it's a very flexible system. In this case, you know, what do some other systems have to offer? So I'll start with the Fate system here. And the Fate system, you know, it, from what I've read so far, is it's quick to start up. It's very collaborative in that nature. It's very narrative driven, and the setting is fairly agnostic, and it's an easy dice system. So it's very light on the role playing things. A lot of just say yes that we've talked about, and you know, just assume that your narrative is going to work. Actually, after reading it, I realized that the hybrid game system that I played in the one time, was very similar, or it seems like a lot of things were kind of cannibalized out of that to make that system. It's very identical in a lot of nature that it has. But there's also like the World of Darkness system that you and I are both very familiar with.
For your angsty teenager.
For your angsty teenagers. I think, you know, one of the things I think that the World of Darkness system has is there's a lot of lethality involved in it, and it's a big horror setting for it. You mentioned that it's got a very interesting power scale associated to it.
Yeah, when you start off as like a whelp or as like a fledgling or whatnot, like you can do some stuff, and that stuff's actually really cool what you can do. And then you see what the next level can do, and it's like, wow, that's pretty good. And then what the next level can do, and so on and so forth. And then you just see like your boss effectively, who's just like, I can like crush you if I wanted to without batting an eye. It's very oppressing. But it's also very exciting at the same time. It's, you get to see that threat difference.
I think it's very evident also in like the vampire world, especially as like you go into one of the things that you probably don't grasp from the vampire setting is that how intense the power scale ramps up. And like when you start getting to like the older generation vampires, the best movie that sort of ever did kind of the vampire setting was sort of the Underworld movies. They kind of mimicked a little bit of that. They really had a big thing for the vampires, and they hated the werewolves, but they had a big thing for the vampires. And you can kind of see the more of the kind of dynamics of the power setting in that.
Oh, absolutely. Like, they were all terrified about the elder vampires in the Underworld movies.
Yes.
And like every time you saw a new one, like in every movie, it's like, this is the main villain because everyone will have to work together because this guy can murk you. It was very exciting. And those villains were very, like, not just showy, but very, like, you could feel their presence. And the vampires, like the main character, Kate Beckinsale, like, she could do some really cool things. And you'd see her do really cool things against those poor, poor, defenseless werewolves. But then you'd see her boss, and it's like, oh my God. Like, how does she stand a chance?
Exactly. I mean, it's that, but that is very akin to the World of Darkness settings in the power scale and the power creep there. The other one is the D&D setting, obviously, that you and I played in. And if you want a fantasy setting, D&D is, you know, one of the best ways to go, I think.
Yeah, it's a very good system for a couple of things. A, because it's such a common system, you can get a really good feel for what you're getting into. It's, you know, it's very much the Lord of the Rings kind of persona, like, okay, I'm going for this heroic journey. And then, like, as you grow, you feel very defined growth points. When you gain a level in 7C, you get so much more stuff for you to like be able to do and like grow towards, that you feel great when you make those levels. It's kind of that addiction of like, I just need another fix. I just need to get that extra level, and then I'm gonna get that extra feat, man, and it's just great.
Yes, exactly. Because you're like, man, once I get that feat, then I can do this in combat, and I can, and then when I get flanks going along with me there, I have advantage all the time. Like, this would be the greatest thing ever since sliced bread. Or when you're playing like a wizard and you start getting more and more spells, it's just gonna be fireball or some variant thereof.
Good old fireball. Nothing beats fireball.
Nothing beats fireball. Exactly. Yeah, that's why they had to make so many things not like, you know, resistant to fire, because
But that's okay. There's a feat for that.
There's a feat for that. Also, just throw more fireball.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. More fireball. it also has that very RPG feel. Like, if you put together the classes, you kind of get that kind of classic RPG feel and vibe to the combat. And the combat itself is very tactical in nature. I think that's just like part of what D&D and where it came from, I kind of brought it in from. Like, you know, I think you mentioned it, if you have a bunch of war gamers, this is probably the easiest transition you could do.
Like, 100% easiest transition. It's like, wait, okay, so we have miniatures and we have a game board, and we're basically trying to outmaneuver our threats so we can take it over. Okay, so this is just like a very small scale Warhammer. I got this. So now units, just individuals. All right. So it's like Mordheim. Yes, it's like Mordheim.
And then we've played Seventh Sea together. And Seventh Sea is more of a pulpy, kind of campy style stories. You know, Zorro would be a good example of it. Pirates of the Caribbean, things like that.
Yeah, it's light fantasy, so you can still get that magic if you want it. It's not going to be nearly as powerful as like D&D, but it'll be fun, campy, happy-go-lucky. When you lose, you don't really lose because you're the heroes in the movie, and that doesn't happen to them. They may get that scar over their eye or like that dramatic injury that's for some reason just makes them look even more suave, but that's pretty much what's going to happen to you.
Yeah, I think everything that... Nobody actually dies in the game.
The only way you can kill a villain, and like it pretty much works the same way, is A, certain things will call it out, and you're almost required to. They even have blurbs about it in the storyteller guide, and before each monster that could kill you, is you have to have an NPC there to be killed to show that the monster can kill.
Like you did with the Basilisk, right?
Yeah, like I did with the Basilisk. It's like, this can happen now. And then outside of those moments, like you beat up a villain, you could shoot him with a cannon if you wanted to, and he'll just be in front of you on the ground, almost limp, barely breathing, but he won't die. Not at all, unless if you actively force it, because you're heroes. And villains will do the same thing. They'll beat you within an inch of your life, but you could fall off like the highest skyscraper, and if you fall in a thing of water, because there will be a thing of water at the bottom, you're safe. You didn't die.
Again, your entire story when we played it was more Indiana Jones.
Yeah, it works very well for Three Musketeers-style stories, Indiana Jones, Zorro, you know, any kind of thing where you want to have those kind of moments.
And then another system that you've played that I haven't is Mutants and Masterminds. And so maybe you can tell me a little bit what about makes that a good choice.
So Mutants and Masterminds is a fairly flexible system. You still have, like, a level growth like you do in D&D, or some of the other ones we'll mention. But it's all just a percentile basis. I mean, you literally only need two dice to play the game. And your character sheet. That could be kind of useful. But because you craft how your powers work using their confines, you can adapt it to a number of different environments. It does have some power scaling to it, but unless if you design threats to be radically outside your power scaling, it's not going to feel dramatically like oppressive, like a World of Darkness would, or like a D&D if your threat level is just a little bit too far for your characters and you get party wipes. So it can be used for both futuristic, past, present. It's pretty decent at a lot of different environments, just as long as you have wonkiness. Like, it's not going to do very well for more of like a more real world, as opposed to a very like over the top kind of world.
That makes sense. And then to kind of go along with that percentile dice side of things, there's also Call of Cthulhu, which is all percentile dice based. Mm-hmm. That's another horror game, but it's got very low success. Yeah. The mortality,
you wanna feel mortality.
The mortality is very high there. I mean, that's sort of the setting and the feel of the game is to have that mortality. You know, you struggle against, you know, the old ones, and you never quite get there. it's always very ambiguous monsters. I remember reading a story section about, like, how do you handle, because I played in a couple of them, I said, how do you handle, like, your big monsters? How do you determine how many health levels they have, all this other stuff? And basically, the best thing I got from it was, there is no monster manual. It's just create your monster, and have them wail on it until you feel like it's about time to let them have the win.
I may have done that a number of times for monsters anyway.
But again, your players don't know the difference. And in the Call of Cthulhu game, it's kind of ambiguous. The monsters are very, you know, these monstrosities that you have no idea about. Like,
No. They're always, I mean, otherworldly things that'll destroy you. It's fantastic if you want to get depressed.
Or you have to have some sort of gimmick to kill them or something like that. And then there's the Shadowrun games, which is, I guess, D&D-like.
It has a lot of the different races like D&D, but it's set in like a futuristic cyberpunk kind of feel. I don't bend as much towards the like other races portion if I play that, but it is a decent setting if you want to have like a cyberpunk universe. Even if you don't use the system, it's fantastic research material if you want to use that setting, because it's been around for a while, so it's got a lot of content. Another good source if you want to do cyberpunk, it's actually not even a role-playing game, or at least I don't think they ever made one for it, is Netrunner. They had a card game for it and a board game for it and a lot of books about it, but it's another great like cyberpunk kind of feel setting.
Okay, and then the only other one that I know that you've played that I have not is Anima.
Yeah, that's a smaller one. Given the name, you'll be shocked to find out that there is some anime style to it. But it doesn't have to be honest. It's kind of like a dark D&D. Like, where D&D, you're going on those heroic adventures, it brings more real world. Like, the realms that you're in this fantasy very much tied to real-world areas, just more tropish versions of them. So, like, the samurai can tap into mysticism in Japan, and you know, the military of England is very oppressive and taking over the world kind of business. But that one ended up having some really good content for one story that I ran, and we'll probably get into that one later. But the big point of it is there's a ton of systems out there.
Yeah, we just rattled off like 8 or 9 of them here right now. And you know, you're right, there are a ton of systems. Now, a lot of them are like in terms of their construction. Mm-hmm. So like Pathfinder, you know, Star Wars, D&D, they all sort of have similar backgrounds and the 20-sided dice, how you roll and how you work out your skills and stuff. But I think the thing is, you know, why dig into a different system? Like I'm a World of Darkness player, or you're listening, you're a D&D player. Why would you even bother digging in to a different system?
Well, first off, there's nothing forcing you to. If you're having a blast running your current game arcs and your characters are really enjoying it, have at it. Have, you know, keep on going that to your heart's content. However, sometimes the game you want to run may not necessarily flush out well with the system that you're using. And so you really got two options. You can try to bend your system to your will, like Sauron with the Nine Rings, or you can maybe look around for another system. Now, I'm going to let you know there's a couple of really strong benefits and disadvantages to doing a new system. Is you are a master of World of Darkness, Aaron. Like, you've been playing World of Darkness for longer than many people have been alive, you old man. But because of that, sometimes a person can get very focused on, like, this is the method of playing. Like, a number of D&D players couldn't imagine life without hit points and life without levels and, yes. And whatnot. Or, like, a World of Darkness player may not be able to have as cheery of a game, you know, something very lighthearted. It just, it doesn't mesh well with the system. I mean, heck, even look at Changeling. That's right, Changeling from that system. Yeah. They made fairies dark.
Like, it is the World of Darkness.
Yeah, so it's just some systems aren't going to work that well for what you're trying to convey. So if you have a story in your mind that you're like, I want to run this story, develop that story. Like, develop what you want your characters to go through, some of the ordeals they should go through, like some of the core values of your system, and then see if you can find some good content to work from. It doesn't always have to be a movie or video game. It could very well be a new system. Like, I wanted to run a story about the seven deadly sins kind of thing. I wanted the players to kind of have to fight against it, but kind of take on the sins themselves in order to beat them against this, you know, super oppressive threat. So I looked around, and that's the only reason I came across the Anima system, is it had a story about, like, 30 coins that were given in exchange for betraying, like, Jesus or whatever in that game's equivalent. And so I kind of grabbed that as an idea. I'm like, wait, yeah, this is kind of cool. You know, like it's something that you don't really see a lot of, but it represents just like not a good thing. Probably we can all agree. So it's like, I could have those be the sins. I mean, sure, seven deadly sins is iconic. Why not 30? And then just break out the seven to be like 30 different kind of evil, super bad things. And I built an entire world around that. And actually, some of the other people who've been on the show, like Ken Spenceley, he actually played in one of those. So he really enjoyed it, or at least I believe he did. Hopefully he did. But anywho, it can help you flush out your world, and it can give you some direction. The other cool perk about maybe switching your system is it keeps your players on their toes a little bit. Sometimes they can get so entrenched on this is how this system works, which is nice. It's a very even playing field, but you do kind of get set in your ways sometimes. And so kicking some dust into them and getting them to try and break out of that mold may be just the thing you need to get them to realize role-playing doesn't have to be what they're currently doing. Now, obviously, if you go too different, it may fail miserably. And honestly, switching to a new system, if you're not comfortable with it, may fail miserably. So you have to work with your players if you're going to do this. You don't do it to spite them. But it is a good way to maybe reinvent things and get yourself inspired about what it is you're running, because A, it's about a story you care about, and you just found a system to tell your story.
As I, you know, have done this podcast for, you know, well, nearing 3 years now, you know, the thing that I as I interact with some different listeners, is that I find that the setting in D&D can be restrictive. I would say restrictive, but more challenging to being, you know, a social game or to doing like a horror setting within the game. And I think that is by dint of how the combat is designed within the game. And so, you know, that's one of the things that when you're looking to tell, you know, different types of stories, that's where the different... for me at least, that's when you start looking at the different systems and going, this system may tell this type of story better because the setting is more geared around, well, you know, you could die at any moment, and you know, this is, you know, the monsters are very ambiguous, or you know, if I want to tell something more high fantasy, well, Call of Cthulhu isn't going to really mesh up to that, okay? Because in high fantasy, your heroes tend to live on. Your heroes tend to be able to fight through great challenges. And in Call of Cthulhu, I mean, people die like left and right, okay? Like a stiff wind could kill your character.
And fun fact, even sticking within D&D's walls, there's a bunch of different realms that, granted, I played a lot of AD&D way back in the day. And they have different realms, too. It's not just Forgotten Realms, but they had Dragonlance, Ravenloft, Dark Suns. Dark Suns, by the way, when you first made your character, you were supposed to make multiple of them because it was expected that one would die at least. So you needed a backup character. Okay, that's a good sign for mortality. I mean, it's no Call of Cthulhu. That game is... you die.
In AD&D, everything that I know is that it is a much, much more mortal
game. Yeah. There was very much of a, you got to zero hit points. Guess what happened?
Wait, you mean there's no 14 death savings throws? And
no wiggling your way out of this one unless you got that wish.
No, but I think that that's one of the reasons why you do look to new games. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I think that other reasons to look to other games, and I would tend to look towards ones that would probably be easier to execute. Okay, so when I looked at it here in the Fate system, just recently before we started doing this episode, I looked at the kind of the simplicity behind one, the rolling system in it, and then the narrative aspect to it, and then two, that you can sort of fit it into it. It's designed to be fit into most settings. A la like GURPS or something like that.
GURPS, but much less crunchy.
Yes, but you can sort of do whatever you want with it and tell the type of story that you want to tell. I don't know how the combat necessarily plays out. I don't know. I haven't seen the flow for that. And that's always going to be part of, I think, any game, is that there's going to be some combat in there. And even if you're like a heavy intrigue political game, highly recommend you throw in some fights where your players get to punch some people. And that it's a good way to give yourself time, and it's a good way to get your players to kind of blow off some steam so they don't do something stupid and ruin your game. So, but the design of the system is very simple and very narrative focused. And like I would say, even in the 7C game, very simple, very narrative focused. There are a lot of dice though in the 7C game as a whole.
Oh yeah, and the system is far more complex based off what I only have a tertiary understanding of Fate, but it's a far more complex system as well. The plus side of it is it's a yes and system, which honestly Fate looks to be very much improv-y, like yes and as well.
Yeah, it's very collaborative with you, the GM, and the players, and the players kind of figure out a lot of things about how they know each other and stuff like that. So it makes things, you know. It is actually the when I looked at the system, it was one of the first systems that had the built-in session zero. Like, it is a built-in session zero. Mm-hmm. It's designed for starting up that game in that way. And we talk about the session zero as being an important thing to have. I would highly suggest, if you've never done one before, do a session zero. It helps get your games going in the right direction from the start.
Yeah, not all games have to start with a bar fight, and you all happen to agree with each other once you meet or some other ridiculous combo.
Don't play the guessing game, and don't try to assume that your players are going to like the game that you're playing in. Come to some understanding and agreement, and also you don't want the person playing like okay, so we're all going to play, you know, in this fantasy setting. Yes, and Jim over here is playing the fish man who cannot live or walk on land. great. why did you choose that character, Jim?
Well, you didn't say we couldn't play the fish man.
You didn't say it was going to be over a mountain. Why didn't you tell me?
You didn't say there was going to be this epic land journey.
Okay, again, you don't want somebody to make the Kender character, as Jared often talked about in the previous episodes. And you don't want somebody to... You want everybody to move in the right direction. Yeah, that's why you would go with the session zero.
But well, they're more likely to have fun if they're all kind of on the same page.
Yes. I would argue that if your success rate with games is a 60% without a session zero, you're probably going higher into the 80% with a session zero. it just makes things run a lot smoother. But I digress. I'm moving off the topic here. So again, this is, you know, why you choose the new game system would be to try and tell the setting for your game in a more optimal way, choosing a system that would better help convey the storytelling that you want to do in the system. But I mean, on the other side of things here, and this is sort of genre meshing the topic here, is looking, every system is worthwhile to look at in terms of storytelling aspects and how to execute story. If you say D&D is my game, learning how 7C does different aspects of their story, learning how Anima would do different aspects of their story, learning how World of Darkness would do different aspects of their story, Fate, so on and so forth, that helps give you this this toolbox and ammunition, which is sort of what the podcast always has been. You know, Jared always said he would go straight to the storytelling section in every book. He doesn't care about the system. He wants to know how they storytell, how mm-hmm. they build and construct their stories. And I would say that, you know, you can get that from every system. And, you know, can you genre mesh and can you pull some of these systems in? Sort of, yes, but you better be, you know, pretty thoughtful in how you pull the systems in.
Yeah, I'm not going to say you can't genre mesh by mixing up systems. I'm going to say that they were probably written with some amount of playtesting involved. And so it's not that you're going to come up with something that they never did. Like, that very well could happen. But there's a lot of room for failure if you're starting to, like, pull too much from other systems into one. It's, you know... But you can find, in a system, how they handle something and implement how they handle it in tiers, like D&D. If you're having problems running social settings because it's hard for you to really represent the skills, I mean, it's just one role. Did I succeed? Great. Then I find all this stuff. Then you may find that another system could have the answer you're looking for. And even if not, I know you switched, or Jared would switch over to the storyteller portion of every other system. I switch over to the story composite and for the fluff for each of the different settings, because so often it's going to give me that inspiration to really help me drive home or more fully develop a story I wanted to run. And odds are they haven't read all those random system settings. And so you can really sneak some things on people and get yourself some inspiration and tell a more full story with less work.
Yeah, you can probably cannibalize some stories out of different because, I mean, yeah, you are correct. The likelihood that your players outside of the systems that you play have ever play one of these other systems, probably very low, unless like you're doing the online gaming thing, you've got more access to other players to be able to try different systems.
And that's a good way of finding those kind of people. There's a lot of Reddit communities and whatnot that will share and love sharing all these different other systems that you haven't ever heard of, and your table also has never heard of.
This is a good way also for you if you want to tell a story. You're like, you know, I think the system fits the right type of story I want to tell for my table. You've gotten kind of buy-in from your players. It's a good way to go learn the system, is to go play in it under somebody else, see how it's done. Or you could, I mean, if you're so bold, pilot your own game for some people and see how it goes.
I see you like to live dangerously.
See you like to live dangerously. I also like to live dangerously.
Yeah, but I mean, the online community is also a great way to do a lot of that preliminary research for you on the cheap.
Yes.
So you don't have to like delve over lots of books and spend a lot of time and or money like getting all this content and realizing I didn't actually want any of this.
Yeah, the nice thing about some of the systems that we mentioned here, especially in like the Fate and even Call of Cthulhu, is they have online primers for like just like get started, play the system. Like they just like condensed versions of the game, which is really nice in terms of being able to just try the system without having to invest in all of the hardware behind the scenes to run the system. Even if you're doing like online PDFs and stuff from like DriveThruRPG, it's still extremely, you know, it can be very expensive to go buy like a bunch of source books and different material. And really all you want to do is get an idea on, you know, how does this thing work. So but no, the other thing that I wanted to mention with this too is that the more that I've looked into newer systems that have been coming out and sort of the evolution of systems, and I talked to Jared about this too, and I found it interesting when I read about the Fate system, is that the newer systems tend to be very light on the rolling aspects of the game. To try to almost eliminate that unless absolutely necessary within the game itself, and to go more into the narrative focused kind of heavy storytelling stuff. Jared apparently found a system that he's very interested in storytelling for us, and so after his current game and after whoever story tells next, he has a story built on this new system for like a one shot, just to try something different, which is gonna be really weird. It's gonna be like, whoa, we're doing something different.
It may ruin your friendship.
It might ruin our friendship. Exactly. He wanted to do Blades of the Dark, but he didn't like how the dice calculations worked out in Blades of the Dark. He loved everything else about it, but he's like, man, figuring out how to like roll dice in Blades of the Dark was like calculus. I don't know if that's true. Anybody want to refute that? Write in levelupyourgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Let me know how wrong I am about that. But that he always talked about how that was a real challenge. But again, the stories that you have here can fit your game. Like, you want to tell a superhero story, one of the best systems for that is going to be you got Heroes Unlimited, or you can do Aberrant. I love Aberrant. Aberrant's a great game if you want to tell superhero stories. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many good options that you have there, and so many games are built around the different settings as a whole. So, you know, really try to embrace what is maybe already out there to tell in your setting. And then after you've story told it or after you've played in the game, you know, if you like it, story tell it. If you don't like it and you've conceptualized how you could adapt that into D&D or World of Darkness, you can then have a better idea of how that played and how it could look like playing it in front of your players as well.
Absolutely.
But no, that's really all I've got to say on this. You have any other thoughts there, Tom?
Yeah, no, I think this is a pretty good one. I will say it's a lot of your own research and finding things out and having some fun with it is, you know, explore the story you want to run and then use that as baseline and find a system that works for you. And more often than not, you're going to be more excited after you read some of the content around the story you already wanted to run, but now you found out that there's stuff to work with, so you don't have to do everything yourself.
The legwork can be brutal when creating a new story. So,
yeah.
as we previously talked, and how you draw inspiration for different stories, what's around you. And again, you know, that's just... it's part of being a GM. That's just
how it works.
That's how it works. But anyways, that's going to go ahead and wrap us up here for the episode. So if you've got any thoughts on systems that you like to run, different systems that you've tried, how you like to approach new systems, levelupyourgamingpodcast@gmail.com or facebook.com/levelupyourgaming. I'm also on YouTube. The podcast is on YouTube, so go ahead and smash that like button or follow us there. And you know, go ahead and review the podcast, subscribe, all that other good stuff, recommend it to a friend. I just got an email that I wasn't at Gen Con, which I think is starting like tomorrow. So,
oh man, I used to go to Gen Con all the time.
So yeah, I'm not at Gen Con. Sorry about that, guys. I'm recording this a week in advance, so that's going to totally make no sense to anybody who's listening to this, but, but that's going to wrap us up for the week. So, for Tom, I'm Aaron. Have a great week, everyone.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye.
Do-do-do-do-do-do. Gaming podcast. Level it up.